Well, we want to welcome everyone to this podcast today. We're at Cross Culture Church, and what a great time to break bread around the Word of God. We're in the book of Acts, and we've been through quite a few books, but this book of Acts is interesting because we see the power and the anointing of God, and how when you get on one accord in one place and you're moving in God's power and anointing, something is going to happen. And I mean, something is going to happen if you, and even in your secret place at your house, your closet, or wherever you take time to study the Word of God and to meditate and hear from Him. If you get on one accord in that place and allow God to work with you, something's going to happen. So if you've not been doing that, I plead with you and implore you to get some study time, get some time, even if it's 30 minutes, to just meditate. On the things of God, find something within Psalms and meditate and give God worship and praise. And in the midst of all of that, God will speak to you. He will talk with you through your praise, and he'll talk to you also through your tribulations and trials. But I know you guys don't want any of that. Everybody wants to be able to glide through without having to go through anything. But that's not realistic. So let's understand what comes out of all of that. So we're in Acts. I want to go back and deal with it, but there's just so much in there. So if you're just tuning in, you got to go back, and you can go back into the podcast and catch up and listen to some of the messages. So what has been happening is the Word of God has gone forth. It's touched people's lives, and people who were not a people of God are now getting a chance to become the people of God. And you have some resistance from those traditionalists, those that felt like that the Word of God was not supposed to be given out, that they were supposed to be the only holders of truth. But God, in the 10th chapter here, has said that what He blesses is blessed, and what He makes clean is clean. And so what you're thinking and what God is thinking is two different thinkings. And we want to lean to what God said. If God sanctified, that means it's good. And so just because we may not like something or feel as though it doesn't look right, if God said it is right, then it is. So I liken that to my Proverbs 14 and 12, where it said there is a way that seems right unto a man. But what seems right, we have to understand that God knows what is right. So let's move on. Now we've come to find out that that the Lord has knocked Saul down, ministered to him, and Peter has had to go in, and he's not really understanding what's going on. But God shows him through a vision that he's going to have to go past his tradition and to find out and get into the truth. And he's getting the truth, and so now he has to now understand that he's going to have to take the same word that he's got and convince others that God is a God for all and not just a God of some. So let's drive into it. We're in chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." Aha. So here we are. Now the word has gone forth. Not only did the word go forth that said the miracles are happening, God's doing great things among his people, but now the Gentiles are now receiving it, and the same blessings are coming upon them as well. So we're going to see a little jealousy here, and that's something that God does not like. Mm-hmm. All right, so verse 2, "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision," or the Jewish people, those that could name which tribe they came from, they had a heritage, they had a lineage, you know, those that were of the circumcision, they contended with him while they start finding fault with what he was doing. And they were acting in a bigoted, "We got it, they don't have it, why are they getting it? We're the ones that's supposed to have it, they are not worthy, why are you over there dealing with them?" All right? And verse 3 says, "Saying, you went," or "thou wentst into men uncircumcised and did eat with them." Mm-hmm. Now see, they have been such separatists you know, they had certain areas. They didn't want them in there. They didn't eat with them. They didn't fellowship with them. And even if you go back to when Jesus was at the well, and the woman came and she said, you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. You actually dealing with me? And what he said was, if you really knew who I was, you'd be glad that I was dealing with you. And that I'm even offering you and going to give you something that's going to change your life. So I want us as a group of people to understand, because you've been given something, you have a responsibility. And that's what I want us to start to look at this. From their aspect, they had a responsibility to share to all the good news of the gospel.
Right.
And that means us the same way. We can't look at a group of people, whether we look at them because they have more money, whether they have a different tradition, whether they have a different philosophy. It's our responsibility to share with them, as we're given by God, the word of God. Because we don't know where they are, but God does. And so here was a situation where these people were hungering and thirsting for something. But because of who the Jewish people was in their tradition, it had been withheld from them. All right. So here we go. Verse 4. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning. And we've seen this in a couple of chapters before. When they get started, they take it all the way back so that they uncover everything as it goes along, so it doesn't leave any questions at the end. And if you look at any of these gospels and epistles that Paul writes, he's like the good attorney. He's going to lay out, this is how it was, this is how it is, and this is how it ought to be. So they take you all the way back and walk you through, so you don't have any, well, why did this happen and why did that happen? You know, and so this is good, because you have to lay a foundation. All right. So he rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded on it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet let down from where?
Heaven.
Had let down from heaven. So he was saying, what I'm going through right now is not even of what you and I understand. This is a spiritual matter. This thing came down from heaven by four corners. And we already talked about those four corners were all areas of the known world at that time. That's what God is dealing with is everybody, all four corners. He said, let it down four corners, and it came even to me. Upon which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw, or he started to look and focus, he saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now, all three of those things, they could not participate in. So here was something that was there that they did not deal with it.
It had been forbidden.
It had been forbidden through the law. They could only have things that were blessed. They couldn't deal with the cloven hoof foot things. I mean, so they had all of this stuff. So everything that he was looking at was something that he wouldn't have any concern with. He wasn't going to eat it. And 7, and I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common, right, mm-hmm. nor unclean at any time entered into my mouth. So he's saying to the Lord, by tradition, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, I've obeyed from the beginning. I've done all I needed to do. But at the same time, who is he talking to?
The Lord.
So now I looked at this and said, how often do we justify ourselves with what we feel is good? You know, I go to church, I pay my tithes, you know, I volunteer, I do all that. And God is saying, well, I really want you to do more than that. But your justification is I'm already doing something, right? And so that's why God always wants us to go to a next level, all right? But the voice said in verse 9, but the voice answered me again. Where did it come from? Where did the voice come from?
From heaven.
From heaven. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this time was done, and this was done three times, and all were drawn up again unto heaven. Now, we went through this. We thought a lot about what the three meant. Three's a charm. There was a lot of stuff we talked about, what it could be. But he did it three times, and then it went back up to heaven. And behold, immediately, there were how many men?
Three men.
There were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. 13. And he showed us how he had what?
Seen an angel
in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thine house what?
Will be saved.
Now, I love this part. I got to stop right here. It doesn't take but one word to save your house. One. And so when we think about, well, what can we say to these people? Or what can I say to this person? If God give you one word, it can turn somebody's heart around. It can turn somebody's life around. It's just us having the courage, or I should have said the faith, to allow God to give us that word, and we speak it.
Right.
And that's what he's looking for. In this whole Bible, God is looking for a vessel that'll yield to him by faith. And watch what happens. All right. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now, what happened when it fell on them at the beginning?
They were filled with the Holy Spirit.
And somebody started preaching, didn't they?
Yes.
And 3,000 folks got turned around, right?
Right.
So now here's that same Holy Ghost. He said fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So now it dawns on him. This is what was promised back then. All right. 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?
And see, my Bible says, and who was I to think that I could oppose God?
That's even better. That's even better. Who am I to think that I can oppose him?
That's right.
That's something. Because all this rationalizing and psychologizing is done. We just need to stop that. That's the flesh that's in the way from victory in God. He said, why am I wrestling with him? There's a whole lot of people who wrestle with him, never won. Never won. That's not one you're going to get. All right? 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace. I love that. They held their peace and they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted what? Repentance unto life. Now they see that this is not just a God for them, but a God for everybody. And this is where we are today. We have to understand that this precious gift that we've been given is not just for us, but it's for others. I often laugh and say, you know, we didn't get fire insurance for us. We got fire insurance for everybody. So we're just the change agents. We're the one that's supposed to go out and offer their fire insurance, you know, to others. You have to have been in the insurance business to understand that one. But that, since I had a few years in that, you know, you don't really see that there's going to be a problem down the road. You think everything's good. But if you don't get the insurance when it happens, then you won't get redeemed or you won't get repaid. All right? granted repentance unto life. 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution, were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicians, and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So now you see what's going on. The word of God is moving along. Only this part of what we're looking at is happening where the Gentiles are getting saved. You got another group that's going along that were with that group that saw Stephen stoned, right? They're going out and they're just preaching to the Jews. 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto God. So we got a revival coming. Mm-hmm. When I looked at this, I said, he's changing streams. We got one group over here, but what he's showing is God's moving in all areas. You know, there's each time a group gets anointed, or I should say get full of the Holy Ghost and power, they're going one way. You got Peter dealing with Saul and all that, and the Gentiles get saved on this end, but God's still working all around. So a lot of times we may be thinking that nothing's going on. I know sometimes. I look and I say, boy, the world's in rough shape, but that doesn't mean that people aren't getting saved. It doesn't mean that evangelists aren't out there. It doesn't mean that people that are overseas on missions trips and stuff are not ministering to people. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And we have to be conscious of the fact that when God's speaking to us, he's just not speaking to us. He's speaking to a lot of people. And so it's our responsibility to be concerned about these shoes that we in. You know, but God's still working. Still working. 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, here is the church hearing and getting excited about the things of God. They're sending out another missionary. Mm-hmm. Said, Barnabas, get on in there. God's doing some things out there. Get on in the fight. 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Now here's encouragement.
Now I was just getting ready to say, when I read that part, I envisioned it as the church in Jerusalem wanted to make sure what they were receiving was authentic word of God. And so he was sending Barnabas to make sure what they were receiving was of God.
Okay.
Well, because the Jerusalem were the the ones who had come to Christ, and they were the rule. So yeah, they that could be, you know, but all of it is led by the Holy Spirit.
Right. Another thing I want you to think about too, if indeed the Gentiles were now getting dealt with and everything that was going on, they would need verification of that. Mm-hmm. And if indeed anything was wrong, they sent Barnabas in there to say, okay, Barnabas, anything going on down there, you know, let's just check it out. All right. So you got a lot of stuff going on here. And of course, that scripture always come to play. Let it be established in the mouth of two or more witnesses. So a lot of times when something going on, it will be verified by several people. Mm-hmm. You know, so sending him in there was a good thing. All right. He saw the grace of God. He was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. 24. For he was what?
A good man.
He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. So in a way, not only did they send him in for verification, he got right on in there and went to work. And because of who he was, even more people, you know, got excited. Because sometimes when people that you know talk to you, it takes somebody from the outside to come in and can say that very same word, and boom. It's like I hear pastors saying when I was pastoring, it's the same way. You have an idea, and you got it going out here, and the people are looking at you, and you can bring in a guest or somebody come in, they'll say the same thing. Boy, the church just jumping up and down, and they all excited, and you sitting there going, I talked that a week ago. You know, nobody jumped up and down then. But sometimes just another witness of the same thing to see, you know, it's here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, God adds and builds on his word. He adds and builds on his word. So that's what I saw in that. I said, he come down, and there were some people that was on the fence. But when Barnabas got that, boy, he just pulled them on over. You know, because a lot of times the word will come, but some plant, some water, but God will get the increase. And that's what I like to always keep in mind. I never know what part of that process I'm in when I'm talking to somebody. You know, am I just planting the word? Am I watering what somebody else has said? Or let's look at it from another perspective. We don't know where people are in their journey in God. They may be in a situation where they need a word to help them get to the, you know, to even get out of the situation. Mm-hmm. Or if they're just getting into it, they need a word to hold on to come out of it. Right? Mm-hmm. So you know, let us be willing and obedient in this. Oh, yeah, good. All right. So 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. Boy, he said, now I want to see this one that's been doing all this persecuting. He's been changed, so you know the word's out, right? They all question it. Now, come on now. We know God is good, but he'd have turned him around. Let's go get him. Let's go see him. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. He brought him back, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and what did they do? They taught, it says, much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Boy, they were doing some work, wasn't they? Mm-hmm. They said, boy, they preaching Christ. Those are some Christians. Mm-hmm. So they named them. They were doing the work. Barnabas and Saul. Now Paul. Wide open, boy. They going at it. They going at it. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Now here we go. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. What do we have? Now we got a prophet saying, we're going to have a problem coming. And y'all better get ready. There's going to be a famine that's going to come. All right? And a lot of times, you know, we have to understand when the word of God comes, it's a preview so that we can get prepared. That's what a prophet does. A prophet gives you a preview of what's coming so that you can be prepared. The scripture also said God is not going to let anything overtake you without first preparing you for it. See, that's the kind of God we got. He's going to let you know it's coming so that you can get ready for it. And he's going to be there with you while you go through it. He's not saying he's going to avert it from you. He just says it's coming. Oh, you're going to have to go through, but I'm going to be with you through that so that you can be able to bear it. Okay? 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by hands of what? Barnabas and Saul. So we've been through chapter 11 here, and And I just want us to see and to draw from it. I'd like to get some comments. When you, as we went through this, did anything pop out to you? Go ahead, what popped out?
Okay, even the last part that you mentioned about the prophets warning us ahead of time. Not only did my mind go back to some of the times when we've had prophets come in and warn us over the years of some things to help us to get ready to go through things,
mm-hmm.
We also have a prophet as a pastor who helps us. We don't necessarily have prophets coming in a whole lot, but I can, you know, some of those experiences did come to mind. It made me grateful that our pastor is a prophet as well. We get a lot of prophetic word
mm-hmm.
from him that prepares us for the things that are happening, about to happen, and things are so happening in this age that we're living in now.
Okay. I looked at it from the standpoint of, you got a lot of things going on, right? God is the Spirit of God is falling upon the people. You got miracles that have happened at the disciples' hands. All right, you've got a major player that had been persecuting the churches now been converted, right? Mm-hmm. So you got abundance of people that have been saved. They believe in, they're on fire. Gotten that, a lot of them out of materialism to say that, hey, we're going to be on one accord. We want everybody to be on one level. We don't want all of this hierarchy and stuff going on. We want to move into the things of God. And in the midst of everything good that's happening, what usually happens? You're going to have trouble. In this life, it doesn't matter about how good and stuff is going on. You got to understand that something else is coming.
Mm-hmm.
If in this life we're going to have some tribulations, trials, and tests, they don't come when we think they ought to come. Because if that was the case, we wouldn't want them to come at all.
Right.
Well, preparing to divert them.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So this was a good time for a prophet to come. This is a perfect time for a prophet to come. And what did the prophet say? We're getting ready to have a famine. So what you're going to have to do is, let's all get prepared and help those that are poor. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all think of it? I mean, so much jumped out. I mean, it's like we really got a problem that's out here. And if we don't get together and send some help and relief, it's going to devastate some people. And if we look at what's going on in the world right now, there's a famine for truth out here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I stopped looking at certain stuff on TV. It is, I don't really have a word for it besides just craziness. You know, you got people saying all kind of stuff, and I'm like, how do they get up there and say that? And no, that's not true. I mean, now justice truly has fallen in the street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people just say anything, and it doesn't matter whether it's a lie. They just keep on saying it and hope somebody will believe it and know it. I mean, you can have somebody say that's not true, and they still keep on saying it. They will not say, okay, then, well, you got me. Nobody say, okay, I'm going to stop. They just...
Alternative reality.
Alternative truth. Alternative reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here we go now. Truth is being challenged, and who's bringing up the defense for truth?
Mm-hmm.
Now we got, it's fake. Well, what is fake? Oh, all of it's fake. No, all of it's not fake. We got some truth out here,
mm-hmm.
but it's only fake when it comes to what you're talking about, and you're trying to claim. And say, okay, everything out here is bad. No, everything's not bad. So here we are with a famine coming, and say, what do they have to do? According to his ability, he determined to send relief unto the brethren. So we have to decide that that God has given us is the relief that's going to be necessary. And we got to stand in this day, even if it's to write letters and to our congressman or whatever it is. If we have got to not cower down to what's going on out here, but to be prepared and to go forth and let God tell us what to do in this time. Because I know God got something for all of us to do in this day. And, you know, I can't reach the people that you can reach. But the people that you can reach, you need to talk to them. All right? I'm going to back up just a little bit because that was two more other points I wanted to make while we were talking here. If God is doing a thing, let's say, okay, in verse 22, it said, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. If you hear that a real revival and move of God is going on, you should applaud that. You should be excited about that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I get calls from people in Birmingham or South Georgia and you know, there's something going on, I get excited about it. If I can go, I like to go. You know, if not, I can pray, mm-hmm. you know, about the situation. And so when we hear good reports, you know, about a move of God or things that's going on, we should get excited about it. If we can go and be a part of it. Just get in the fire. You know, I'm just saying if you can, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not saying that we don't have something to do, because we all have something to do. But if something's going on, try to get in the midst of it if it's positive and if it's good. Okay? Anybody else?
There's a very wonderful point made to me on Sunday when Dr. Priscilla Johnson got up and was exhorting the men, and she gave that acronym about Christians. And divided that. I bet the majority of the people's minds went to this verse right here in this scripture. This chapter that we're on today. And my mind was trying to say, okay, how many other places in the Bible is the word Christian? So I've already looked up, just since I've been sitting, because I didn't know but just that one place, but there's another. But I just love being able to take those notes, just like trying to take some a few minutes ago while you were reading the next scripture, something that you said that this needed to be written.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I am nothing.
I am nothing. And
what? I'm late. I'm sorry.
No, we're talking about Priscilla Johnson was talking about on Sunday, about Christian meaning.
Is this the first place in Acts, is the first place that the word Christian was in?
It says this was where they started calling them Christians.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They were referred to as believers.
Or in the way.
Or in the way.
Yeah, they were people of the way.
Of the way.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the first. That was the first.
They still say it in foreign countries.
In the way.
You're in the way.
Yeah, you in the light on the way.
In the light or in the way.
Christian, everybody's a Christian. You know, but you in the way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we used to always joke about it when I first got saved. He said, you can be in the way or you can be in the way. and if you're not in the way, you need to get out of the way. So that was always a big joke. But yeah, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. All right. So y'all want to jump into 12?
Yes.
Ah, we got a resounding yes.
Yes. How many total chapters we have?
Well, we just finished up 11. And we'll be moving on into 12. We've done all of 11 in 45 minutes. That's pretty good. I haven't been able to get that fast in some of them, though. All right, so chapter 12. Now, about that time, all right, and about what time? The time that a prophet has stood up and said and talked. By that time, we got a lot of folks that got saved. Paul and Barnabas are working together. The church of the circumcision has now been that sacred cow have been flipped over. Mm-hmm. Now the Gentiles can receive and have received the Holy Ghost and are doing great things. So now in the midst of all of this stuff going on, it's all looking good. Here come the famine and what else? Here come the enemy. Here come the devil, boy. He's like, hey. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Herod Agrippa. All right. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Here come not only persecution, but death. All right. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. That's in parentheses right here. Mm-hmm. All right. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Why would he need so many guards for this one man?
Because he knew what happened when they arrested Jesus. All that's still in their mind. And they had all the guards and put him in a tomb and put a big boulder and what happened, you know. So they're like, this one's not going to resurrect.
Nah. But God's going to show something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was what? Made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Does the prayer of the righteous avail of much?
Yes.
Yeah, so sometimes we as a church, when pastor puts something out, you know, we should get busy. And even just in our own little prayer time, you know, we should carve out some time. If he as the head of the church has said we ought to pray for a specific thing, we ought to go in on that. Sometimes I'm not able to get on that prayer line, but it don't mean I don't be thinking about it and still understanding, you know, what it is. We should always put forth a effort to pray, even if we can't get in on one thing, still show unity and pray. All right, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. I said that one. 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping, look at this, between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So you got, he's in between two soldiers. They got him chained. And keepers, and he got folks at the door all around the prison to keep the prison tight. All right? And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he hit Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains what?
Fell off
from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird yourself. And in other words, put your clothes on and get your sandals ready. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and he followed him. And as I said, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So he's going through all this. He's saying, am I dreaming? In other words, is this real? Mm-hmm. Now I know I'm in between this guy. The chains done fell off. I put my clothes on, and now I'm walking out. Really? Thought he saw a vision. And they were past the first and the second ward. They came unto the iron gate, which leadeth into the city, which, what did it do? Which opened to them of his own accord, and he went out, and he passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him.
Wow.
Boy, he walking right along, gates opening up. Mm-hmm. He's just walking. He's just going along. He's like, I got to be dreaming, but I'm keeping on going, right? And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know for a surety. Way that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod. And what? From, and it, well, that my from is in italics, so they just added that. And all the expectation of the people of the Jews. That right there is where we all need to get at some point in our walk. That we know for a shadow of doubt that God has done it. And that's the testimony that'll take us. Right?
That's right.
I mean, if all you do is preach this word, but you've not experienced God bringing you through a situation, your testimony and your preaching is different. I can tell when people are talking about something that they read, or people who preaching about something that they've experienced.
That they've been delivered from certain situations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, when I talk to people about drugs and talk about how you can be under control and how God can take you out of that, and then he's now in control, that's my testimony is different because I've had God to deliver me. So I know that there was a time when I lived to get high, but now there's a time when I live for Jesus. That's different. So when I'm talking to somebody and I'm telling them about how I had this drive, but then God has got in and now I got that drive for him, they can understand that, you know, because I explained it to them exactly like he did for me.
Right.
Now, if somebody said, well, you know, God can save you and he can deliver you. That's different when I said God can take the taste of marijuana and cocaine out of your mouth, that monkey that was on your back can get knocked off. And that same desire that you had for that, you got a desire to pray and seek God's face. Boy, that touches folks because they know about the drive. They know that thing that be in the back of your mind all the time. Let me hurry up and do this so I can get high. Let me hurry up and do this so I can do this. But then when you get relief from that and you say, boy, I want to go to church or I want to be around the people of God. You know, they can understand that that's a transformation that takes place.
And now that same monkey is being made legal, so that it's like it's even what I'm trying to say is it has gotten to a level where we really have to pray even harder for those who are carrying this monkey because it's just so prevalent now. It's legal, you know. It's recreational drugs. They're using the word, you know. So when you minister to people and say, well, you know, that's not good for you, they're like, hey, who are you to say it's not good?
Right, right. I can go and do this and do that.
And I could buy it anywhere now.
Buy it legally.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, good. So now I'm going to leave that and let's deal with this particular. I got about 5 or 6 minutes, so I want to talk to you about how would you minister to somebody. With what you just read, how would you take these particular scriptures and then deal with somebody who is going through something, who right now is in prison, who's shackled up in between? Portia left. But I want you to think about it because I got something for it. I want you to think about it, though. It's simple.
I think that we all have different life experiences and we've all gone through things differently. I don't know how, I wouldn't be effective at all talking to somebody that's going through drugs because I've never done drugs. I don't know what it's like. I don't know that monkey. I don't know about that.
Okay.
But I know about depression. I could more so minister to somebody going through that. I wouldn't be effective at all speaking with somebody about drugs or any other situation that I haven't personally experienced. I mean, I can give them the basics.
Which is
that Jesus Christ, God loves them,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus Christ died, he mm-hmm. shed his blood mm-hmm. for your sins, and that if you confess your sins and if you believe in your heart and confess yours with your mouth, you will be saved. I can go that route with you.
All right, let me ask another question. Now, if you were dealing with somebody that was depressed, how would you deal with them?
I would deal with them and I would share my own experience.
Okay.
I would just really share my own experience and how and what I went through
mm-hmm.
and how God delivered me through prayer and through reading of the word and,
mm-hmm.
and being healed. I can deal with them on that level.
So I'm just saying to you, I don't want you to think that would not work. You're saying to me, you don't think that if you told somebody and gave somebody your testimony about being delivered from depression, because if you would tell them what caused the depression,
mm-hmm.
what you went through,
right.
it's not going to be too much of a difference between that
and somebody being on drugs.
There's a void that only God can fill in anybody's life. And when God feels that, he's the one that takes the shackles off. And he's the one that takes you from in between all of these people that have been talking to you, all these situations that done got you in this little box and you don't seem to be able to get out. God is the one that rescues you from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that particular part of your life that you're going through suffering and you're using these drugs to cover up
mm-hmm.
or to help you deal with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if it's depression or if it's this something that's got you feeling a certain way and you need to have relief from that,
yeah.
then this is the God that we serve that's able to come in between that situation and bring you out of it. And so that's the same message, except I just use vernacular that they understand. But if you said I was going through something and I felt pressured
mm-hmm.
and this thing was wearing me out and so I had to get some kind of relief of it, I know that God is what? A burden bearer. He's a heaven load sharer. And you start talking about the fact that when he hung on the cross, he took our depression, our drug addiction, he took all of the things that got us bound and broke us free and died for us and gave us a right to be free and to come to him and he be that one. So I'm glad you did that, because I want you to know that when your testimony, we overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb, which was shed, and the word of our testimony. So if God is no respecter of persons, then if he broke you out of depression, then he can break you out of drug addiction. Then he can break you out off of pornography. He can break you off of anything that's got you
bound.
Mm-hmm. See? And so that's where I want you to look at this and say, if you have been brought out of it and you see that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think,
mm-hmm.
that's a word that you got to say. Listen, I know you may be drunk right now, and I know that something's going on in your life, but God is able to do exceedingly abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for me. You know, I was tore up from the floor up, man. I couldn't get nothing done in my life. I was stymied. I mean, you can just go through whatever it is and say, but when God came in, he broke me free. And that's all you need to do. It doesn't mean, you know, that you have to have been through a drug situation. But that depression was rough enough. People say, you know, well, you don't understand. I said, well, just let me tell you what I do understand. You know, I got my own testimony. It may not be where you at, but boy, I was hurting.
Right.
And I was tore up. And so God relieved me of that. He'll do it for you if you just trust him. And that's all that we're supposed to do is present our case, present the case that we know that he did it for us and that he can do it for them. And that's what breaks and destroys the yokes of bondage in people's life.
Amen.
It does. So, you know, hey, if you run up on somebody and they got a problem, you know, you said, look, I'm not in that particular situation, but let me tell you about what I was in. And I know that God can break you out of yours. So when you have that experience, and you can talk to people about it, and that's what I do. I say, hey, I tell them all the time. I say, I might not know all, but I'm just going to tell you what I do know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be fully persuaded in your own mind that God has done that. And see, that's why I think a lot of young Christians, you know, they take off and they want to start preaching to people, and they've not really had the full impact of God delivering them. You know, when you first get saved, boy, I mean, you'd be all excited on fire, but that's all you got right then. It's going to take some maturity. It's going to take a whole nother walking with God to get you strong enough to go and, you know, back in there. Now, people say, you know, well, you know, God told me to go back in there and minister to them people on the street. Not right after you get saved first. You need to, you know what I'm talking about? You need to have that foundation solidified, or else you go in there and then after a while you're going to be sitting there taking a drink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the way it is. So it takes the full process to have taken place, and then God can send you back in there. And you know, once you got that foundation laid and you've been truly delivered from it now, you know, because somebody can bring 1,000 pounds of cocaine in here, and or 10 tons of weed, oh, none of that stuff mean nothing to me.
And when we think about how the Lord had used Peter, you know, and how he had ministered and saw all those folks come to the Lord, and it took this experience for him to say without a doubt.
Right. But see, it was now personal. See, he was the one that was in chains now. Mm-hmm. He the one locked up, you know. And like I said, you know, we have our own testimony. And when I went down to Natchitoches, and I'm done, that bishop,
Mitchell,
oh my God, he broke down this thing about going through problems and having situations. He said, that's when you're going to find God. Mm-hmm. He said, but most people don't want the situation. They don't want the trials, because they, you know, they don't want to know God like that. But to know him like that is what's going to take you to the next level. You can't say, Lord, I want a carefree life. You say, well, how you going to know me? How you going to know me unless you know me in your suffering? How you going to know me unless you know me in getting you out of this particular situation or my going through?